There is a guest in the studio, and we're talking something I didn't even know existed. It's beard transplants, or replacement of facial hair. Dr. Peter Paraskevas, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Darren. Thanks for having me.
Or Dr. Peter Para, or just Dr. Peter.
Yeah, that's good. That's what patients call me.
You were confused because I was talking to the doc, Dennis O'Kane, we call him the doc, and he was over your shoulder, and I was talking to him, and I said, hi, doc, how are you? And I wasn't talking to you, but talking to him. Oh, it got very confusing. Anyway, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Tell me about beard transplants. What sort of gentlemen require them and need them and want them?
Well, it's usually patients who've had some sort of deficiency through their beard area, whether it's scarring from birth or whether it's acne or some sort of or burns. And what they're trying to do is fill in the areas of deficiency. That's the usual reason, but we do get the occasional vain patient. That's okay to be vain in today's day and age.
Yeah, but, exactly.
Who come in and want to actually replace the hair and fill it in and get more of a full beard. So there are two different types of patients who we see.
How do you do that? How do you get facial hair to grow? Is it a matter of, in the old days, I'll tell you what, I've known a couple, your chair just collapsed on you, okay? I've known a couple of, I'm going to name them because they won't mind. Oh, one of them sadly moved on to the other side. He's ridden on ahead. Harry Beitzel, footy commentator, he was one of the first ever that I knew that had one.
Yes.
He had a head like a rice paddy. Yeah. He won't mind me saying that if he was listening from above.
They named a patch of grass after him at the Victoria Golf Club, didn't they?
I think they did. Another mate of mine, Russell Morris, the real thing.
Yep.
He had a job done that sort of didn't really work. That started a long time ago. How has it changed over the years?
Well, if you go back 30 years, you'll find that a lot of the patients who used to have hair transplants basically had a revision surgery where they'd pull a bit of scalp over the other part of the head.
Right.
And if you take a guess, someone like Donald Trump probably would have been the guy who's had that.
that's right.
A scar revision where they move the hair over, move the scalp over.
Yeah.
And that moved over to strip surgery, where you take a strip of hair from the back of the scalp, cut it out, so it's full on surgery.
Like I'm thinking grass, that...
What do they call it? Take a patch of grass.
Patch of grass, yeah.
And then there you go. You've got some hair. You get that cut up under a microscope, and you can then just implant it. One by one.
And it regrows.
It regrows. And then the final thing, which is the most recent and probably the most successful in terms of a good balance between patient outcome, patient satisfaction, and then also the doctor's expectations, is what we refer to as FUE, and that's follicular unit extraction. So basically what that is, and it's not the same as strand by strand that you probably would have heard.
Yeah,
of.
Yeah.
This is follicle by follicle. So rather than take the big strip of hair from the back, you'll take an individual follicle one at a time.
One hair at a time.
It's
going to take days.
Well, if you're good and you've got the right skills, you've got the right team, and you've got the right technology, you can knock off about 1,500 follicles within about 3 or 4 hours, maybe 2,000,
right,
and then have the afternoon to actually implant that hair back into the scalp.
So where is it over the lunchtime break?
The lunchtime break
sitting in a petri dish.
Well, it's sitting in a storage solution. So you what you want to do is actually preserve the hair follicle.
Right.
You think of any traditional transplant, think of a kidney transplant.
Yeah.
You need to make sure the kidney's actually healthy.
Yeah.
And then when you take it out, you've actually keep it in a healthy solution so it doesn't die and doesn't get damaged.
Yeah.
And then implant it. And the same thing with the hair follicle. Once you've taken it out, have it out for a short period of time, have it in some good storage solution, have it nice and chilled, and then you're ready to implant it. And once you do that, then you're pretty much looking at a 95 to 99% success rate. The hairs don't really, they take quite well. So
that's good, isn't it?
It's very good.
And there's no scarring after it?
It depends who does it.
Yeah.
So if you do strip surgery, you get that really horrible telltale scar at the back of the scalp. And you'll see people with that, unfortunately. You know, the other day I was walking down at the airport and I just
caught a glance and
thought, oops. So, when you do this, when you do it strand by strand.
For a surgeon to have that opinion of someone in the back of his head, you think, you've got that wrong.
Yeah, you've got that wrong. So FUE, or the follicle by follicle, is the best way to actually preserve the scalp, not damage it to the point where you can actually see scars.
Yeah.
And you're not going to see these little pinpoint holes, particularly if you're growing your hair to a 1 or 2. So
yeah, that's right. And Peter, good afternoon.
Yeah, hi, Darren and other Peter. Question, for hair transplant or hair rejuvenation, the drugs minoxidil and ROX or something it's called, are they worthy? Are they successful?
Yeah, well, the drugs that are available are either they're blockers or stimulators. So with the stimulators, you're referring to minoxidil, and that's a drug that can actually help stimulate hair growth. The blockers, such as finasteride, so finasteride will come as generically as finasteride, but as a trade name, you probably would have heard of it as Propecia or Proscar, but Propecia is the 1 milligram dose that we give to patients with hair loss, and what that does is it blocks the hormone that attacks hair follicles and miniaturizes them. So, yes, absolutely, you'd see your doctor and have a trial on Propecia, and also some minoxidil to see whether or not that could slow down the progression of your hair loss.
Brett, good afternoon.
Yeah, hello, Darren and Peter. I'm just wondering, my head's a little bit dim where the tape top is, but everything else is all right. I'm just wondering, one thing annoys me, I've got a hairy back. Just wondering if you could use hair off there to put on your...
on your eyebrows.
I'm going to assume that's a serious question.
It is, isn't it? That's okay. Serious. You're being serious, aren't you, Brett?
Yeah. All right, okay. So what we do is we take hair that has a very long growth cycle, and that's the hair that has a long growth cycle. So it's like a growth cycle about 7 to 8 years, comes from the back of your head, okay? Off your back, the growth cycle is going to be very, very short. So it's a pointless exercise trying to grab hair from your back and put it up somewhere else. It just won't take very well.
There you go. End of story there for you, Brett. And finally, Jenny, good afternoon. Hello,
oh,
Jenny.
Hello. Yeah. Yes, look, you were talking about the drug minoxidil. 1986 was when the Queen Victoria Hospital did the trial of that. We had about 50 patients, and some didn't know they were... And I worked with the specialist when we did that trial on that drug.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah. It's made such a difference to a lot of patients.
Yeah.
We get it in, it's in powder, it can come in powder form and solution form, but it also given orally to women who are losing hair through the change of menopause. And so they'll take some spironolactone, some minoxidil. Really helps. It's a wonderful drug. Thanks for that.
You're a good man, Doc. But melbournehairtransplant.com.au is where you work. You're a good man. You're not only qualified in the area, but you've done psychology. You've done the whole package, haven't you?
Oh, look, going through, I wasn't sure what I was going to do at the beginning. So I did 6 months of psychiatry. I got my diploma in obstetrics gynecology. I wanted to be an obstetrician. Yeah. I thought, no, that's not for me. Then emergency, then I got into general practice. I tried that for a couple of years. It was wonderful, but I needed something, some more of a challenge. And that's about that time I got into phlebology. That was my first, about 2003.
The only thing that worries me, though, you've come down in a tram down St Kilda Road in your scrubs, and the last time I saw a bloke like you in scrubs was Eric Bana playing Dirty John on Netflix, and it's just a bit of a worry looking at you. You know what I'm saying? If anyone sees a man on scrubs going up Collins Street on his way back, it's not Dirty John.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk again one day, and thanks for coming down Collins Street to chat today.
Thanks for having me.